All right, back to management. How to manage a business, part two. We're going to look at finance. We looked at time management. You only have so much time. You have to manage your goals. Those are the big things. And then the tasks that contribute towards a goal. And then finally, each step that accomplishes a task that leads to a goal. The second thing you have to learn how to manage is finances or money. A verse I like to talk or share is Luke 14, verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Business includes money. You're trying to make money with your business. And keeping track of it and knowing where it goes and knowing whether you're actually successful in making a profit is very important. A lot of people will start a business and they think they'll be succeeding, and then at the end of the year they wonder why they don't have any money. It's because they haven't managed the money. First of all, you have expenses. What kinds of things are under expenses? Well, first of all, you have your product. Maybe you make your own product, but then there's the materials that you need. With the Bibles, again, I have to print. I mean, this is a 100 or 300 page book, and I have someone print that, and I have to pay them, and then I have to store them. I have to make the cover. So all these things that go into a product. Well, how do I manage that? I have a customer that wants 5,000 Bibles. And I used to store 4,000 of them and ship 1,000. And then when they would run out, they'd want the next 1,000. And they'd only pay when they wanted them. So I had to pay for all 5,000 of them and gradually get my money back and gradually get the profit. Number two, interest lost on product. When you buy product, you're buying way more than what you can sell today. So when you buy product, you spend a certain amount of money, and that money is gone. You have to understand that when you have money and you spend it, let's say I bought $5,000 worth of product, and now I don't have the $5,000. I had it before, and I could do something with that money. That $5,000 is at least worth interest. I could invest it in something and get interest. So the product not only cost me $5,000, but it also cost me the interest lost on that $5,000. So if I buy a bunch of product and then I put it somewhere, I stick it in my basement or stick it in my garage or some warehouse or some barn, and I think, well, I paid for it. I can just keep it forever. It costs you something to keep it because you could have done something else with that money. People have this idea that once they have it, it's free. Someone has a car that they're not using and it's worth $2,000. And they go, well, I might as well keep it. Maybe I'll need it one day. You have to ask yourself, would you go out and buy that car for $2,000 right now? Because that's what you're doing. By holding on to something that's worth $2,000, it's the exact same thing as if you went out and bought it for $2,000. So you have to decide whether you really want to keep something. So there's the product, but then there's the interest lost on the product as you hold on to it. Then there's tax. If you're in a for-profit business and you're selling to ordinary people and you sell a finished product to them, you have to charge them tax and then pay tax on that, at least here in the United States. Number four, there's the marketing expenses, researching, advertising, online presence, all the things that are involved in the whole marketing aspect. Transportation, maybe you have to drive here. When I ship things, I got to drive over to the post office. If you talk to a customer, you have to drive over. You have a product or a service, there's a transportation cost. There's a communication cost. Today, generally, if you have a business, you got to have a phone. So you got to pay for that phone. A lot of times you need the internet, so now you got to pay for the internet as well. So there's communication costs. A web presence, a simple website. Maybe you have to have someone do it, or you have to learn how to do it yourself. And the more complicated the website gets, the more you have to pay. And if you start doing ads online and so on, that costs money too. Liability. Some businesses, you might get sued. Someone doesn't like your work or they get hurt from your thing. So you have to think about liability, and there's different ways to protect yourself. Number nine, are you going to hire employees, which can get very expensive, or are you just going to contract out? And I recommend, if you're just starting a business, to just hire people to do specific things for you. It's like a contract. I'm going to contract you to make my website. I'm going to contract you to try to sell something, and I'll pay when you actually sell something. Employee, you're sort of stuck with. You hire them, and whether there's work there or not, you have to pay them. Office warehouse. You need a place to work. When you're starting out, just start in your own home. You have the home already. It's already being heated. It really doesn't cost extra for you to just start right there. If you have some product, stick it in your house, stick it in your garage. Try to get by with as little expense as you can. If you start a business and you have to pay this monthly rent on some space, you have to make that much money in profit just to break even. So if you can, hold off on getting space and office space and all of that. There's a lot of hassle, I know. At home, maybe there's kids, all these issues. But to get started, minimize your expenses as much as you can. Shipping, like in my business, I have to ship, but I just pass the shipping cost on to the customer. Whatever the shipping is what I send on to the customer. But I have to pay it ahead of time and then eventually get paid. Okay, then you have income. Income, you have the sale of your product or your service. So I might sell this book for $3, or depending on how many people, how much someone orders. If they order many, the price goes down. If they order a few, the price goes up. So I sell it for a certain price, and I take that income in, but that's not the income that I make. That's not the profit. How do you collect? You have to figure out how are you going to collect. Are you going to charge up front? Do people have to pay up front? With my business, because I'm dealing with churches and ministries, I don't charge up front. I charge when they finally get the product. So I have to pay for everything, and money goes out, and the money doesn't come back to me maybe for many months later. So I have to have enough money to be able to do that, and eventually people will pay. So I at this point, I don't take credit cards. If you do take a credit card, that costs you 1% or 2%. The credit card company wants to make money off of that. Certainly, I take cash, but most of the customers don't live near me. So most people pay by check, and there's no fees for that. It works really well. Anyway, you have to decide, what are you going to do? How are you going to collect the money? Generally, the more you can get up front, the better. When does the customer pay and how much? I tried doing, you have to put 10% down, and it became this big management hassle. It just depends on how organized you are and what your particular business is. And I have a long track record of people paying. Very few people don't pay. So I'm a little more lenient on that, and people eventually do pay. But in your business, you're going to have to figure out how does that work. Because a lot of people will do all the work and then they don't get paid. That doesn't work. Profit. So you have your expenses and your income. Those are two numbers you really have to be on top of. And by the way, most people do not keep track of all the expenses. You should also keep track of your hours, because your hours are worth something too. That's an expense. Your time is not free. So what is profit? Profit is your income, whatever you get from the customer, minus your expenses, all your expenses. You have to really list all your expenses. My brother was talking about some guy. He's trying to do a little partnership, and this guy doesn't understand all the expenses. He doesn't list them down, and so he wonders at the end of the year why he isn't making any money. Accounting. Accounting is the term that we use to keep track of the finances. That's all accounting is. And there's two basic ways of doing accounting. One is called the cash basis accounting, and one is called the accrual method of accounting. Now, the cash basis of accounting just makes sense. It recognizes revenues, that's money coming in, and expenses, that's money going out, at the same time the physical cash is actually received or paid. So when I was at the Bible League, I had a budget, and I would buy $10,000 worth of Bibles. So when I paid the money for the Bibles, I actually sent the check out to the company that I'm buying the Bibles from. That was an expense. That makes sense. $10,000 out. Now, when I sell the Bible or 10 Bibles to a church and they pay me with a check and I'm holding the check, I'm holding the money, it goes into the bank, then I write it down as expense. It made sense to me. That's, you know, and that's the simplest way to do your accounting. There's also the accrual method of accounting, and that took me a while to figure out what this is. It recognizes income in a company's books at the time the revenue is earned, but not necessarily received, and records expenses when liabilities are incurred, not necessarily when they're paid. The problem with the cash method is I buy the Bibles, and now it's expensed out, and now I sell it to somebody, but they don't pay me for a long time. So when does it go on my books? Let's say they don't pay till the next year. So the next year I have all this expense, but I don't have any income to offset that expense. And then the next year I have all this income coming in, and my expenses are going to be really low. So I know in the Bible League, I had a hard time understanding. I got this budget. I went and bought 10,000 Bibles, let's say, at the end of the year. I've got some budget left, so I'm going to spend it, right? Otherwise, I lose it. So I buy $10,000 worth of Bibles, and then I begin the new year, and I say to the finance people, okay, this is a new year. I have a whole new budget. And then the finance guy would come to me and say, well, you don't have a whole new budget because you have 10,000 Bibles still in the warehouse. I said, I know, but I spent the money. The money's gone. And they said, no, you didn't spend the money. The money is in those Bibles. The Bibles are worth $10,000. There's still something that you possess. And I'd say, yeah, but I spent it. I can show you the thing. Here's the bill. I paid this bill. Yes. All you did is convert $10,000 in money into $10,000 of Bibles. You're still holding on to them. Inventory is just a different form of cash. So anyway, it can get quite complicated. But I recommend you start with the cash basis accounting. If it's a simple business, you're just starting out, the accrual method is way more complicated. Just start out with the cash basis. Then we have governance as part of this whole managing finances, legal status. I don't know what your country is. Do you need a license to start a business, depending on your business? Do you need to register? How do you do that? In our country, there's a few different ways of thinking about owning a business. One is sole propriety. And sole proprietorship is a type of business entity that is owned and run by a person in which there is no legal distinction between the owner and the business. The owner is in direct control of all elements and is legally accountable for the finances of such business, and this may include debts, loans, losses, etc. Sole propriety is that's what I do with my business. It's just the same as any income that I get. I just fill one tax form. It's a business thing. All the liabilities, all the expenses, all the income, it just goes on my personal tax thing that I do for the government. It goes on my personal tax return. Everything is just related to me. And I am liable for it. It suits anything that happens. It's all just connected to me. Partnership. A partnership is a single business where two or more people share ownership. Each partner contributes to all aspects of the business, including money, property, labor, or skill. In return, each partner shares in the profits and losses of the business. Because partnerships entail more than one person in the decision-making process, it's important to discuss a wide variety of issues up front and develop a legal partnership agreement. So when you go into a thing with someone else, now you're sharing something. And to share it, you have to understand who's contributing what. How is this going to work? How are disagreements? What happens when one partner wants to get out of it? There's a lot of decisions that have to be made up front, or you end up with trouble down the road. It's a little more complicated. And then you have corporations. A corporation is a type of business which is formally registered as a public-owned company. It is, as it's recognized, as a separate entity from its owners. So our company is a thing in and of itself. It's like a person. And we all invest in this thing. This thing is not my personal tax return. This thing makes its own money, and the money sits there. And when the corporation then pays me, as one of the people who are part owners of the corporation, it just pays me. Now, there's a lot of plus sides, because all the liability is on the corporation and not me. People can't sue me. They sue the corporation. But on the downside, a corporation has to pay taxes. The business has to actually pay taxes. And then sometimes when I take money out of the corporation, I have to pay taxes too. So sometimes there's a double tax, depending on how you do it. So you have to figure out which way you want to organize your business. There's two basic kinds of business. There's for-profit and there's non-profit. A for-profit business, I think I've talked about this in one of the earlier videos. For-profit is when I am in this business and I'm trying to make money, and the money that I make, now I have to pay taxes on. Everything gets taxed. In the non-profit, I have this business entity, and the money that comes in is not taxed. Now, if I'm hired by the nonprofit is paying me a salary to help run it, the money I get is taxed because it's personal income. But all the money that the nonprofit makes is non-taxed, and because of that, you can get gifts. People can donate to your nonprofit. So one of the reasons why you start a nonprofit is so that people can actually donate. In other words, if you're starting a business that probably in the end won't make money, but it's a good thing to do, then you want to go nonprofit. The nonprofit can pay you, but you can get donations from people because whatever you're doing does not pay its way. You can't do that in the for-profit world. In the for-profit world, you have to engage in something that actually makes money, or you're going under. You don't get donations for a for-profit business. All right, last thing in managing finances, tools for managing finances. One of the easiest, quickest, cheapest ways to do it is with like an Excel spreadsheet or a generic equivalent. There's stuff that's out there that's free that you can use. They all work the same, and it's like the poor man's software. You can feel like you're a software developer when you use Excel. And if you don't know Excel at all, there's plenty of things online that will help you. Within 2 hours, you can figure out the basics. I mean, even when I add up numbers, I just type in the numbers in Excel, then there's this button called summing, and it automatically adds them all. But I keep track of my Bibles, and, you know, because I buy a Bible at 55 cents, this time, the next time it's 60 cents, and so I have a little formula, this book times 56 cents, plus shipping, plus the cover, and I can just put in the numbers, and it tells me my profit, it tells me my expenses, it keeps track of the whole thing, and, you know, and I did it myself. It took me an hour or so to figure out how to do it. I recommend Excel. You start, and Excel is an excellent thing to manage a lot of different things, not just finances. If you start doing really well, programs like QuickBooks, it's an accounting program. It's got more bells and whistles, but it also takes more study to figure out how it works. There's a business part, there's personal, there's taxes, all these different things. There's payroll, and the bigger your business is, the more complicated it gets. But to begin, to just start it simple, just keep an Excel spreadsheet. It'll keep track of most everything that you're doing. So management, you got to manage your time, got to manage your money, and last we're going to look at next time is how to manage people.